Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
Welcome to our service this morning. This is the fourth Sunday in Advent. Three sleeps to go. I remind you that we are joined with Highworth, URC, and are also part of the Old Town Partnership of Churches. I'll also say that hopefully we welcome those listening on the website if the recording is working, and if it isn't, they won't hear it anyway, so there we go. If there are any visitors here this morning, please introduce yourselves. You're very welcome. And there is tea and coffee and mince pies after the service, so please join us in the hall behind. The service this morning is led by Don MacArthur, and with a pause for thought and reflection from Jeff Gleed. And it will run as printed in this green sheet, so I hope you've all got a copy. I will just add one notice to our weekly news in that we do have a service on Christmas Day in the morning at 10:30. It'll be a quick service, and we'd like to see you here if you can make it. And I will now light the Christ candle and the peace candle.
Good morning. We give you a very warm welcome to this service and trust that through both words and music you each might experience the true spirit and meaning of Christmas. For this is the time to celebrate the birth of Jesus, God's only Son, who came to bring life and hope, light and love into our world. So, friends, as we join together in worship, let us reflect on the birth of the Christ child and give thanks that through him God became one with us. To him be glory and praise, both now and forever. Amen. Time of prayer. Loving God, we thank you for this day and all it speaks of your promise of old to send a Messiah to your people. The fulfillment of that promise through the sending of your Son, the realization of those long years of expectation, the glad tidings proclaimed by the angels, the wonder and mystery of that first Christmas. For all this time means, and will always mean, we praise you. We thank you for the special things we associate with Christmas. The spreading of goodwill, the sharing of friendship, the longing for peace, and the expressing of love. For all this time means, and will always mean, we praise you. But above all, we thank you for the truth behind this season, the message that you have come to us, that you love us, that you have shared our humanity, and that you want us to share in your everlasting life. For all this time means and will always mean, we praise you. And Lord, as we praise you, here as now in a time of quiet, we speak of the things for which we ask to be forgiven. And now let us sum up our prayers in the words of the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The fourth Sunday of Advent. One candle reminds us of the prophets, the second for John the Baptist, and the third for Mary, and the fourth for us, as we join with them looking for the coming of Jesus. God will give you a sign. A young woman who is pregnant will have a son, and we'll name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Gracious God, as you came to those who have gone before us, you come to us now in Jesus. Help us to recognize you in those around us and to care for our neighbors as we do for ourselves. Amen.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forwards and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What the donkey saw. No room in the inn, of course, and not that much in the stable. What with the shepherds, magi, Mary, Joseph the heavenly host, not to mention the baby using our manger as a cot, you couldn't have squeezed another cherubim for love or money. Still, in spite of the overcrowding, I did my best to make them feel wanted. I could see the baby and I would be going places together.
Just Another Christmas by Andrew Feakin. As we approach another Christmas, is the birth of Jesus incidental? Is he lost in all the festivities? Or to you, is he really central? When all the preparations have been completed and nothing remains to be done, we can reflect on that most precious gift, Jesus, God's only Son. So many presents may well come our way, some expensive, some large or small, that we can, in all the activity, so easily forget the greatest gift of all. Will this Christmas be different than all the others that have gone before? The wonderful gift of new birth is for you. Jesus stands and waits at the door. Don't just let another Christmas go by. There is something you can do. You can ask to share in his new birth by inviting him to come and live in you.
So then, here's the big question. Are you ready for the season? Particularly for Christmas, of course. Can you now relax and sit back and enjoy the next few days? I'm just assuming, of course, that by now all the cards have been written and sent. Apart from that is the occasional one that's come perhaps in from a neighbour that you didn't send to, so you're quickly writing one to post through their letterbox. I'm guessing that most, if not all, the presents have been bought by now, especially my present, of course, that you're all going to give me. And I guess most of them are wrapped. And what about all the food that's needed for the biggest meal of the year,
unless, of course, you're off out to eat somewhere else. Then there's the decorations. Are they on the tree and around the house? Are they still in the box? Or worse still, are they still in the attic? Well, to be honest, I'm sure most of us feel we are pretty much ready and prepared for the season by now, as far certainly as material arrangements are concerned. If not, I think we're in a bit of trouble, to be honest with you. But here's the question that I really want to ask today, and it was on the posters that went out earlier on over the Christmas season. Are we ready and prepared for the real reason for Christmas? I chose that poem, Just Another Christmas, which was read to us by Helen, because to me, the words get right to the heart, the centre of what this season is all about, what it should certainly stand for, especially for you and me as Christians. Now, please don't get me wrong, Liz and I, like pretty much everyone else, very much enjoy the trappings of Christmas. We love the feeling of the season, if you like. Because there can be no doubt that whether people are religious or not, you would see, wouldn't you, and agree with me, that generally speaking, a greater spirit of goodwill is around the place. There are generally more smiles and hugs than we Brits are especially used to, I think. We all know, of course, that this wonderful world, of which you and I are very much a part, is in a real, real mess. So those hugs and kisses and that listening ear are even more important, I think. But don't forget, the world was, you know, in a real mess 2,000 years ago when a helpless baby revealed part of God to us through the child Jesus. That Bethlehem story of long ago, to me and I'm sure to you, shows that God in Christ came alongside us at the darkest season of the year. But of course, ultimately, the darkness passes, and we can journey from the deep depths of darkness and despair into the light and the hope of new beginnings. And we do that, of course, with Jesus at our side. When I was writing this brief reflection, I found myself asking, what is it did I think, and what I'm going to say to you, what do you think it is about that Christmas story of Mary and Joseph and a baby Jesus, along with smelly shepherds, an ox, a donkey, that so grabs the imagination of so many over the generations? It's done so for 2,000 years. What is the hidden strength that that story holds that's enabled it to survive attempts over many, many centuries to ban it, to exploit it, to corrupt it, to belittle it, or even curse and damn it? I mean, you know and I know that society, even in later times, in our own time, has sought to change its name from Christmas to something more secular like winter celebrations or Yuletide or midwinter break. But why, I ask myself and I ask you, why does the story of Christmas continue to work away at us? I think, you see, that it's because the Nativity story actually shines a light on our human story, on each of our stories. And it gives us the possibility of seeing a new way to live with hope, whatever the state the world might be in, and however we might be feeling as individuals. Christmas, to me, in essence, has the capacity always to change us and the world for good. Definitely for good. As I say, I hope it can change the world for good, because I want to see God through us turning the minds of those who would do evil towards acts of love and kindness. You see, if you and I, friends, don't hold on to the truth of the message of Christmas, we have to question our faith, don't we? And we have to rethink our lives. Yes, the world cries out in pain. And we can so easily say we feel helpless to do or say anything. So my message to you this morning, and to me, of course, is come on, let's together shout aloud, yes, I am ready for the season. And I'm ready to speak out words of hope to the world. I'm ready to rededicate my life to serve the Christ child who became my Saviour, my Lord, my friend, and who through his life, his death, his example, his resurrection, he showed us the best possible way to live. He was the blueprint for life. See, ours is not and should never be a passive faith that only lives and works in us privately and in the confines of the walls of this church building. It's an active faith that has to believe in hope for our world. It's a faith lived out in our daily lives, in ordinary, everyday things that we say and do. So let's say, Lord, we are ready. Show us what you'd have us do. Lead us out from the stable into the light of a new life. Just one final thought. I don't know about you, but I like that 12-line poem that Wally read to us when we learn about what the donkey saw. Why do I like it? Well, because that donkey is at the very centre, the very beginning of the Christmas story. He's present at Christ's birth. But he also realises in that poem that his relationship with Jesus does not end there in the stable. It will continue on with him by carrying him on his entry into Jerusalem. So that story tells me a bit the message of that label we had years ago: a dog is not just for Christmas, nor is Jesus only for Christmas. It's a lifelong event, that's what it is. It was a lifelong event for the donkey. It's a lifelong event for you and me and all who follow Jesus. So you see, Christmas is really just the very beginning. I do pray God's blessing on all of you, your families, your friends, those with us and those who dwell upon another shore and in a far greater light, who we have loved and continue to love. And I pray God's blessing on his people everywhere. Let's hope for a better world this Christmas and beyond. Amen.
Let us come to God again in prayer. Almighty God, we have heard once more the wonderful message of your coming to us in Christ. Tidings of great joy, good news for all people. We thank you for that message, the well-loved words we have heard and sung again today, so familiar, so often repeated, yet still so special and meaningful. We thank you for the faith and trust of Mary, her willingness to accept your will, for the pilgrimage and gifts of the wise men, their determination to seek and respond, for the simple actions of the shepherds, who, hearing the message and seeing its truth for themselves, shared with others what they had experienced. Teach us, we pray, as we celebrate this Christmas time, to learn from their example, to follow in their footsteps, to share their faith. Teach us to know the reality of Christ born for us, and in our turn, to pass on what we have discovered through him to those around us. Lord, hear us as we remember those who truly need to hear that message of love coming down at Christmas. The sad, the lonely, the refugee, the sick, those who have no home, nowhere to lay their head, all who lack the basic necessities of life. There are so many individuals who need our prayers and our love, including those in our church family who are going through difficult or challenging times. We think of so many situations in our world where there is war, natural disaster, hunger, where people are hurting and frightened. May they know and feel your love through the love of others. And let us support agencies, emergency services, and voluntary organizations. Let us have a short time of quiet as we reflect on those that we wish to pray for and think of this morning. Lord, we ask your blessing on all governments, that they may choose to make decisions which are in the best interests of those they serve. And we sum up our prayers by saying the words of the grace together. The grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all. Evermore. Amen.
Stand by Gerard Kelly. When the night is deep with the sense of Christmas and expectancy hangs heavy on every breath, behold, I stand at the door and knock. When the floor is knee-deep in discarded wrapping paper, and the new books are open at page one, and the new toys are already broken, behold, I stand at the door and knock. When the family is squashed, elbow to elbow, around the table, and the furious rush for food is over, and the only word that can describe the feeling is full, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And when Christmas is over and the television is silent for the first time in 2 days, and who sent which card to whom is forgotten until next year, behold, I stand at the door. And when the nation has finished celebrating, will you open the door of your heart and let me in?
Oh,
Beginning and our end. Bring us with the whole of creation to see your glory, hidden through past ages but made known in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now, as we prepare to share tea and coffee and mince pies together, may the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Mary and Joseph, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this day and always. Amen.
Amen. It's come, what I was waiting for in the post, for your birth.